This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, so very happy to be with you today. I love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday as we discuss issues of importance to your life and faith. I like to call it holy conversation. Yes, I do. Because when we come together as the mystical body of Christ, guess what? The Holy Spirit is there, and He inspires us, He leads us, He guides us, He orders our steps. It says that in sacred scripture, that the Lord orders the steps of a righteous man. And when we are walking in the ways of the Lord, by golly, we are righteous. And let me just share with you that when we're righteous, well, God is right there with us. So we love to spend this time with you Monday through Friday. I always love hearing from you. We can hear from you in a variety of ways. You know that we often receive your calls here, like every day that we are together. But sometimes there are those days when we're not taking calls because we dip into another way in which you can communicate with us. And that is via our email. So if you want to send us an email, if you've got a question and you would like some insight regarding it, and you don't really have a time frame on when you need to hear the response, well, certainly do email us. womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the way that you can join us. Now, I must say, let me amend what I just said there. The fact of the matter is there are days when during the live show, we will also go to that email bag. So we do try to get to it as frequently as we possibly can. So womenofgrace@ewtn.com is one of the ways in which you can reach us. Another way that you can reach us without calling in is for you to also send us your messages via text, and we'll get to those either live or on a day like this. Text your message to 58177, EWTN to 58177. Text the letters EWTN to 58177. And yet another way is for you to leave a question for us on our listener comment line. And the way in which you do that is simply to call this number. It's available to you 24/7. Anytime, you know, that little question just kind of begins to flit through your mind and you would like to get a response on it, you can leave the question for us there. What is that number? That number is country code 1-205-795-5773. That's country code 1-205-795-5773. So today is one of those days when we are going to be looking at some emails that we've received. We're going to be looking at some messages that have come into us. We're going to be looking at some comments that were left for us. And I'm always eager for these days too, because it allows me to expound. You know, one of the things that I like to do on Women of Grace is to give time for the question to be responded to or to interact with you when we are taking the calls, so that there's, you know, an opportunity to dig just a little bit more deeply. I've learned something. I've learned that my style of interviewing, whether it's television or radio, is really something that they call a long format interview. Who knew? I didn't know there was a name for it. It's just the way that I function. But all of that being said, that is the way that we go on Women of Grace Live. And when we have these days, it gives me even a little bit of a lengthier opportunity to dig deep into the questions that we receive through any of those numbers of means. So today, we're not taking live calls, but, you know, don't delay in sending us those messages, womenofgrace@ewtn.com, or leaving a question or a comment for us at 1-205-795-5773, because we will get to them on a day like this. Do want to let you know that we've got all kinds of good things happening at Women of Grace. So I invite you to get out to our website, womenofgrace.com. Interestingly, earlier this week, I had a meeting with all of our regional coordinators. We meet once a month, and it's just a beautiful opportunity for us to interact together. There's generally a little bit of a teaching that goes on there, presentations by the women. We get to see what's going on in their areas and how God is using them and moving out this beautiful apostolate for women. And the way in which, you know, so many of the women who are taking the study at a given point in time are benefiting by it. And we we were talking about some of the things that are coming up, and it's just, you know, the beginning of the year, like we are currently in time-wise, is always a very fertile time at Women of Grace. You know, there's plans that are put into place, which we consider to be very flexible, depending upon how the wind of the Holy Spirit blows us. But the fact of the matter is, lots of new studies are going to be happening very, very soon online. Now, we have our studies in person as well as online, because we know that oftentimes there's not a study that's happening in person in your area, and we don't want you to miss the opportunity to experience a foundational study. Our ladies have become very, very skilled at facilitating in an online setting. And that's a unique gift in and of itself, you know, to make it very, very personal through in the artificial environment of the, you know, the internet, through a call where we're not gathered together, but we are, you know, in diverse places. The women have really, I think, a charism for that. So if you haven't taken a Women of Grace foundational study, I do want to let you know to stay tuned to our website, because there's lots and lots of them that are going to be underway soon, both the foundational study as well as the Moments with Mary study, Who is Mary? So we have found that women who join us from diverse places oftentimes then say, hey, listen, I want to facilitate an in-person study in my area. And then we work with them to be able to do that. And it's just a lovely way in which this seed grace of the Holy Spirit, the charisms, really, I think, of our Blessed Mother can get transported, you know, to broad places. And I say that with intentionality. You know, we look at who we're called to be as women. And if we take it very, very seriously, we see that we, through the gift of our feminine genius, are meant to be in concert with the one who is the feminine genius, the one who embodies the feminine genius, the one who is the superlative quintessential living out reality of the feminine genius, and that is our Blessed Lady. And so through Women of Grace, we're very aware of the fact that our Blessed Mother wants to train up her daughters in her very charisms and to share with them the very attributes of her soul. And you're saying, oh, Johnette, that's really quite a big statement to make. But I didn't make the statement. The statement was made by St. Louis de Montfort. Our Blessed Mother wants to do this within the hearts of all of her children, but in a special way, through this great grace that is ours by our authentic femininity. You know, we share that in common with Our Lady. And so in a way that is elegant, a way that is elegant in its expression in the feminine person, our Blessed Mother is about that business. So if any of this is, you know, tantalizing you in some way, I do want for you to get out to our website, look at what's coming up, and plan to be with us. And if you have an inspiration of heart to lead a study in your area, we would like to know that. You know, just give us a call. 800-558-5452 is the way that you can join us. That's 800-558-5452. And I do mean that truly. You can join us. You can join us in this great apostolate, this great mission of leading women into a deeper understanding and recognition of who they are as the daughters of the Most High God, formed and shaped according to the heart of God with a unique specificity, and yet all wound up in the reality of their feminine identity. We're coming right back. Stay with us. We're going to be taking some questions and comments. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. Very happy to be with you today. So very, very eager to share with you about the abundant life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the way in which we do that is through the questions and the comments that you bring to us. Today is one of the days when we are looking specifically at the questions that have been brought to us, either through our listener comment line or by sending them in to us via our email address. So I am going to give you those two sources sources of communicating with us, womenofgrace@ewtn.com. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the way that you can send a message to us via email. Now, another way in which you can communicate with us and get a message to us is to leave it on our listener comment line. Here is that phone number. It is country code 1-205-271-2985. That's country code 1-205-271-2985. We will retrieve those questions, and on a day like this, we will dip into those. So I am very, very eager to get to some of these questions. We have numbers of them that have been left for us, and I think it's going to take the whole show to get through just a few of them, but I am eager to do that. And here is one that comes into us from Maria in Florida. She says, how can I talk to someone who gives unsolicited advice often? It brings me down and makes me feel as if they're judging my efforts in life. Oh, Maria, you know, this is a problem. It truly is a problem. There are moments in life when we do want the insights and perspectives of others. And generally speaking, we ask for it. And there is a, you know, a tendency in some people to offer this advice, whether it's asked for or not. And it can be very difficult to deal with this because, of course, what you don't want to do is to disrupt a friendship. You don't want for, you know, a well-intentioned action. We're going to assume that on the part of the person that's giving you this unsolicited advice, a well-intentioned action to lead to a falling out in friends. But of course, by the same token, we don't want to be subjected to advice that's not asked for, especially when we notice that our response, our interior response to that advice and counsel is negative. And you're suggesting that because you said that this brings you down and makes you feel as if they're judging your efforts in life. And so I would share that with this individual. The next time the advice comes and it's unsolicited, I would say, now, are you judging my attempts here? Or, you know, help me to understand what you're thinking. And this might lead to a conversation where you can share with them that you're happy to receive their advice and counsel. You consider their advice and counsel to be very, very helpful. But, you know, it's not always necessary when you're just sharing about something to, you know, take a stand of being the counselor in that situation. I would suggest that you do a whole lot of praying before you enter into that conversation, because it can lead to, you know, a hurt feeling on the other side. That certainly isn't what you want to do. I would say this too, that, you know, maybe perhaps I'm a little concerned by the response saying that your interior response is one that it brings you down and makes you feel as if they're judging your efforts in life. The interesting thing is that when we are making serious decisions, you know, things, you know, more involved than what color should I paint this room, when we're making very serious decisions that can certainly have a great impact in our life, my hope would be that you're praying through those decisions. My hope is that you're not just making a quick, herky-jerky kind of decision, that you are really taking it before the Lord, that you're sitting there and that you're doing your due diligence to try to discern what His will for you is. And, you know, I always like to give a little bit of unsolicited advice and counsel, but mostly when somebody asks for it, on how to go through a process of doing that. And that process that I like to suggest is one that comes to us from St. Ignatius of Loyola and was shared with me, and I've shared this many times on the air, was given to me specifically by Father Mitch Pacwa, a Jesuit priest. And he really helped me when I was asking for his advice about a decision that I had to make. And he didn't make the decision for me. He didn't say, well, Janet, you should clearly do this. No. he led me into a methodology by which I could determine what God was saying to me. And the very first step of that is to, you know, do a what we would call in a secular setting, like a Ben Franklin. And what is that? That is to list your pros and your cons. And frankly, it's St. Ignatius of Loyola that offered us that advice and counsel many centuries before. And that advice and counsel is very sound. So sit there and list everything positive about making decision A, and everything that's negative about making decision A. All right, four, let's just say decision A is to go forward in a given direction, right? And you list it all. And you list it, you know, both in the very practical dimension, you know, what about the, you know, physical effects of this? You know, does it cause a relocation? Does it, you know, is it, can I afford to make this decision? What is the cost to my family if I make this decision? You know, depending upon what that decision is, maybe taking a new job or spending money in a particular way, you've got to examine it from that practical dimension. But also, too, from the other effects that it will have with regard to your own personal grace and movement in life, as well as that with regard to those for whom you are responsible, whether it's a wife or a husband, whether it's, you know, your children, whether it's affecting parents. I had to make different decisions than I would have made when my parents were elderly, because it was necessary for me to be there to be of aid and to help them and really to care for them in their senior years. So some of the, you know, decisions that I was confronted with making really had to give way, even if the practical dimension of it worked out perfectly, had to give way for a greater responsibility. And that was the responsibility towards my family, towards my parents specifically in this situation. So we do that, right? Now we take a look and do the same thing if we make decision B, if we don't go forward. You know, what are the practical realities of that would be listed in the pro column? What are the practical realities of that would be listed in the con column? What are the other, you know, kinds of consequences that would come as a result of that, you know? And we list those in the pro and those in the con, all right? So we do that. Father Mitch said, well, generally, Jeanette, at that point, you'll know the way to go. And by the time I did that, I had an inkling. But, you know, I can be a little scrupulous when it comes to making decisions according to the will of the Father. So I said, okay, I'm going to go to step two. And step two, Father Mitch had shared with me, was to picture yourself making decision A and paying very close attention to what rises up in you. Now, I want to say this. We don't make decisions based on our emotions. We test our emotions. But we make decisions that are based on our intelligence and more prone toward a calibration of the decision we're about to make that comes from a more logical reality. But we do want to test those emotions because God does work through the emotions. So we don't want the emotions to govern us, but we certainly do want to explore them. And so we sit there and we see, okay, I'm going to make decision A, picture ourselves making decision A and functioning in decision A. And as you're doing that, see what wells up in you. Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it worry? Is it concern? Is it a sense of dread? Or on the other hand, is it a sense of eager anticipation? Is it a sense of well-being? Is it a sense of exhilaration of the spirit? Is it a sense of zeal? Is it a sense of certitude? Yes, this is good. You know, and we take and we make note of that. Now, I would also say that in light of that, a way to examine those emotions that would find itself rooted more in Scripture would be to evaluate them according to the fruit of the Holy Spirit and according to what is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Am I making this decision because of greed? Is there avarice involved in this? Is there a lust for power, a lust for a title? You know, is it being driven by that, or is it being driven by one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit called modesty, which is far broader than just, you know, dressing in a way that is appropriate and with dignity? Modesty truly has to do with humility, with humility. So is it coming from a place of humility? Is it coming from a place of love? And love here, you know, not just the romantic reality of love, but a true charity of heart for our fellow man. You know, love in its essence is who God is, right? He identifies himself that way. St. John gives us that definition for God in his epistle. God is love. So when we talk about love, it's the God life in us. It's who God is acting through us. So is this decision rooted in that, right? Is it rooted in that? Is it coming from that locus of operation, the life of God in me? So, you know, we look at those fruits. You know, we look at the other fruits too. Peace. Is there peace in this? Do I feel peaceful when I picture myself making decision A? You know, is that what comes to me? You know, another word for that is kind of like a certitude. Peace, the peace that surpasses understanding is a surety, you know, a surety. You know, it comes from the point of view that, you know, God is in this and I can trust him in this. And the fruit of that trust in him, knowing that this is the right way to go, is peace, the peace that surpasses understanding. In addition to that, what about joy? You know, maybe that falls into the category of that, you know, exhilaration of spirit. But here I'm not talking about necessarily happiness. Here I'm talking about joy, knowing that even if the going gets rough in this decision, you know, that joy of the Lord that truly is also rooted in that peace, that's rooted in that trust, is operative in this decision. And then you do the same exact thing for decision B. When I got to that point, as I often say, I knew which direction I was going to go in. But being of scrupulous mind and heart sometimes, I went to the third step. And the third step is, now you picture yourself before God. And you are giving him an account. You're explaining to the Lord why you chose position A over position B, decision A over decision B. And how do you feel in that moment? You know, what's coming to you? What would be the Lord's disposition of heart with response to what it is that you're saying? And so then, by then, I certainly had the certitude I needed to go in the decision that I thought God was leading me, even though I knew it was going to be a very difficult decision to make. Even though I knew that that decision was going to lead to a lot of sacrifice, I knew that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I knew that the sacrifice that was involved with that was definitely going to be one that the benefit of the cross in that decision. The benefit of the cross. Everything good comes from the cross. And so to realize that there is sacrifice in a decision is not a negative. It's a positive when you have the certainty that you're to go in a given direction. So I'm offering you that because then no matter what your friend's advice would be according to the decisions that you're making, your friend's advice, unsolicited or solicited, is not going to be able to bring you down. It's not going to make you feel as though they're judging your efforts in life. You know, it's not going to bother you that maybe they are judging your efforts in life. Because you're going to know that you submitted this decision to the ultimate will of God. You're going to know that you made this decision by taking it to the judge of all things, to the one who is judge, all in capital letters, judge, the one whose only judgment truly matters. And that's God. I know that when I made the decision that I had to make, and it did affect other people, it really did. One person in particular was very, very unhappy about the decision and didn't mind sharing the unhappiness with me. But it didn't shake me. It didn't shake me because I knew that this was what God wanted. And I knew ultimately that I could trust in that decision. And it really didn't matter. It didn't even matter that this person was very displeased with me. I felt badly that the person was displeased with me, but I wasn't basing my evaluation of me or my evaluation of this decision based on this person's unhappiness with me, because I knew that this was what God wanted. So I want to offer you that, Maria, because I think that maybe, you know, if we're sure about the decisions that we're making, right, then, you know, we are not going to be affected by the response of others. We're going to feel very badly that they feel that way, but it's not going to shake us. It just isn't going to shake us. But, you know, I would suggest to your friend, too, as I said, you know, that on some level, you know, that you always appreciate the advice. But, you know, in some cases, you're really not asking for advice. You just really want to sort it out with them. You know, I just, you know, I trust you as a friend. And so I just want to sort this out, because sometimes, and I'll say this about me, sometimes when I talk it out with someone, I get clarity. You know, I kind of get a certain clarity. This is where spiritual directors are really helpful. I get a kind of clarity in what the Lord is saying and how it is that he's leading. So I offer you that, and I hope that that is helpful for you. I sincerely hope that that is helpful for you, because it's really important. It's really important to, you know, submit the decisions that we have to make to godly counsel, and we can go to God, you know. But then again, we do want to have somebody that we sort through that with. I went to Father Mitch. I was praying about it. I was trying to determine what God was saying. I took it to Father Mitch, and he led me well by teaching me that methodology, which is one that it's a lifelong practice at this point in time, you know. So I hope that that will be of great help to you. You hear that music, friends? We're going to go to a break. We're going to come back. As I said, you know, on these days, your questions and your questions are always so good, but it gives me an opportunity to dig a little bit more deeply into them. And I think that we've just experienced that. I've got some other really good ones coming up here on the other side of the break. Always eager to hear from you. You know, when we're taking questions, of course, live here on the air. But in addition to that, I enjoy receiving them from you when you send them to womenofgrace@ewtn.com or leave them for us on our listener comment line, 1-205-795-5773. Coming right back. Stay with us. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. So very happy to be with you today. So very, very eager always to receive your questions and your comments. One of the ways in which you can do that is by emailing your questions and comments to us. womenofgrace@ewtn.com is the address for you to use to do that. That's womenofgrace@ewtn.com. You can also leave questions and comments for us on our listener comment line. And that number is 1-205-795-5773. Again, country code 1-205-795-5773. When you email your questions to us or leave them for us on our listener comment line, I spend a day just going through those with you on the air every once in a while. And today is one of those days. And I'll tell you, these are excellent, excellent questions that I have received. And, you know, I love to be able to get into the weeds a little bit on these questions on these days, because there's so much to unpack in them. And you've taken the time to send the question in, and I want to give you as full a response as I possibly can. So we just responded to a question that Maria in Florida left for us on how she can talk to someone who gives unsolicited advice often because she says it brings her down and makes her feel as if they're judging my efforts in life. And we did respond to that. I gave her a really good way to determine how it is that we arrive at a good decision based on taking it before the Lord. And that was based on a beautiful, beautiful methodology given to us by St. Ignatius of Loyola and imparted to me by Father Mitch Pacwa several years ago when I had to make an important decision. So if you missed that response, you know, just listen to the rebroadcast of our program or go out to EWTN's app. And of course, I'm assuming that you've downloaded that app. If you haven't, you really want to do it. Go out to the app and check it out under On Demand. And you'll scroll down all the way to the radio area, and then you'll click, and then you'll scroll all the way to the end of the listing of the programs to Women of Grace. They're listed alphabetically. So Women of Grace Live, of course, is the last in the alphabetical order. And you'll find it there. Or you can also listen on demand at EWTN.com. So if you miss that answer, you might want to do that. As a matter of fact, anytime you miss our program, you have opportunity to re-listen to it. And I was just with a group of women the other evening, and they said, oh, you know, they were re-listening to a couple of the programs that I had aired that they had missed. So I invite you to do the same thing. And you can do that with all of the programs here on EWTN Radio. Gerald sent us a question. And of course, this is on one of my favorite topics. He says, I'm trying to pray a rosary daily, but it's very difficult to find time. How does one make praying the rosary a habit? Gerald, don't I love this question? Don't I love it? You are a brother of my heart. You know, in two ways. One, finding the time to pray the rosary, and two, making it a habit. I will say to you that the daily rosary is habitual for me. You know, I remember one of the great popes, it might have been Pope Pius IX, I'm not really sure, but one of them said, don't fall asleep without praying your rosary, even if, you know, it's very late at night. Make sure that you pray it. And I honestly try to do that. However, for me, the best time for me to pray the rosary is in the morning. So I make the rosary part of my morning prayer. Oftentimes, the rosary is the backbone of my morning prayer, right? I also try to do morning prayer from the Liturgy of the Hours. And I've shared with you that I use an app that combines, there's an opportunity there to just do morning prayer, but there's also one that combines it with the gospel of the day and combines it with the readings from the Office of Readings for the day. And that's the one that I choose to use because I love the readings of the Office of Readings, but I really want to pray morning prayer. So I try to use the Liturgy of the Hours, the breviary, in that morning prayer time, but I also pray my rosary in my morning prayer. And then that way, I know that I have given the first fruit of my day to the Lord. Sacred Scripture says, bring your first fruits. Well, that's not just about, you know, your tithe. That's also about your time, right? It's also about your talent. You know, bring your first fruits to the Lord. So my time, you know, the first hours of my morning belong to the Lord. So my prayer time usually takes me about an hour and a half. Some days I can't give an hour and a half because of the press of a schedule, but I do my prayer in the morning, and the rosary most typically is part of it. And I find when I have to push it back later in the day, then number one, my attention to the mysteries of the rosary, my attention to just being in communion with God by way of the rosary, is not as good. It is not as good because now I'm bringing not only, you know, my first moments of waking up and getting a cup of coffee to the Lord, but I'm bringing up more than that. You know, I've got the day has already begun to transpire, and now my distractions are greater. So that's why that morning prayer time is good. So I would suggest this to you, Gerald. The other thing about this, you know, is that sacrificial offering is also prayer. It's important to remember that. The sacrificial offering is also prayer. It's a desire to bring to the Lord, you know, a part of ourselves, which is often a denial of something that we want to do, right? It's a denial. And so I would suggest this to you. Your prayer will be all, I think, the more fruitful if you you know, make a decision that, yes, I'm going to have this morning prayer time. I'm going to get this rosary, you know, I'm going to pray this rosary at the beginning of the day because I want to come to that time of prayer with as little distraction as I possibly can. And I want to give the Lord my first fruits. And by way of intentionality, I'm going to get up a half an hour earlier so I can be sure to accomplish this. Right? Boy, you know, depriving yourself of that half an hour of sleep would you know, be just a beautiful offering to the Lord first thing in the morning. You know, in our morning prayer, you know, my little morning prayer is, dear Lord, thank you for another gift of another day of life. Today I offer you all of my thoughts, words, deeds, and sufferings, right? In union through the Sacred Heart of Mary, and in union with all of the masses that are being celebrated today, may they tend to your greater glory and to my eternal salvation. Amen. Well, a sacrifice is a suffering. So you already, in your morning offering, have something to give to the Lord because you've sacrificed that half hour of sleep. And that's not lost on God. That's not lost on God. Sometimes it's really hard to get up, you know, early in the morning to make sure that we have that time of prayer. So I would suggest that to you, right? It's difficult to find time if we just stick to a schedule that we've always been doing. But if we want to make it a habit, then, you know, let's just even look at that reality, right? To cultivate a good habit requires sacrifice, doesn't it? It requires letting go of ease. It requires oftentimes letting go of another habit. Well, I always get up at 7 o'clock in the morning, John. Okay, so get up at 6:30. Get up at 6. If you usually get up at 6:30 or 6, get up at 5 or 5:30. I'll tell you, it will color all of your day. So, yeah, that's what I would do, Gerald. You know, that's my advice and counsel to you. But let me tell you this. I just love the fact that you desire to pray the rosary every day. I just love the fact that this is a holy habit that you want to cultivate. Golly, that's a beautiful disposition of heart to have. It pleases the Father so much, and it brings joy to our Blessed Mother. And when our Blessed Mother is experiencing joy, it's because the action is in accordance with the will of God. So you can be certain that this desire of heart that you have is coming directly from the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Our Lady will help you. She will be there. You know, her maternal beatitude will help rouse you in the morning. Isn't that a lovely thought? Maybe when you were a little boy, your mom would come in and she would, you know, she would very gently rouse you from your sleep so you could get ready for school. Well, you know what? Our Blessed Mother spiritually will rouse you in the morning so that you can get ready to enter into her school, which is the school of the rosary. Just the very thought of it brings tears to my eyes, to tell you the truth. That is so lovely. So just think of it that way, Gerald. When the alarm goes off, say, oh, that's not really the alarm. That's the maternal beatitude of our Blessed Lady, rousing me gently from my sleep to bring me into her school, where she will tutor me how to walk in the way of her Son. Oh my goodness, that's just so lovely. I could just stop right here and just go into prayer right now, but maybe you could too. So thank you. Thank you for your very, very good question. We get a question that was left for us. How many times can I receive communion in a day? How many times can I receive communion in a day? And this is from our listener comment line. I don't know who sent this in to us. But the answer to that, the answer is that you can receive communion twice a day. Twice a day. So the first time can be, at a Mass, at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass where you are, and or at a communion service outside of Mass, right? So you can receive twice. However, let me just say that, you know, one of those times in receiving has got to be at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Now, oftentimes, you know, we will find ourselves in a situation where we will have to go to multiple masses in the same day. For example, maybe it's the first Saturday of the month. Maybe we make the first Saturday, beautiful, beautiful, habitual, offering to God at the requisition of Our Blessed Lady. So maybe we practice the first Saturdays of the month, but also maybe we're going to a wedding later on in the day. So it's a whole separate occasion. It's a whole different, celebration of the Mass, right? So yes, you can receive communion that way as well. Also, too, there are times when we're going and attending a funeral Mass. And so you would be able to receive that funeral Mass in that same way, in that same kind of a situation. So I suggest that to you. But the answer is twice a day, I would suggest that you follow that guidance of the Church, right? You want to follow that guidance of the Church. So there you have it. So there is a question for you answered. We've got some other questions coming up here. Let me just get to another one. I think it's very beautiful, that you ask a question such as that, because it shows that you really do want to be, in line with the teachings of the Church, but also, too, you don't want to deprive yourself of an opportunity to receive the Lord. Here's another question. What does it mean to consecrate ourselves to the Blessed Mother, and how do we go about that process? Yeah, now, this is a lovely question, also right up my alley, because I love to talk about our Mother, as you well know. This concept of consecration, and in recent years, and I suppose maybe there is a history of this more deeply in the life of the Church, but I'm not really sure. There's also become opportunities to consecrate ourselves to Saint Joseph. Father Calloway wrote that beautiful book on consecration to Saint Joseph. There's consecration to the Sacred Heart. That's longstanding. Consecration to the Immaculate Heart. That too is longstanding. And then there's consecration to Jesus through Mary, really fashioned and given to us by way of three great saints, one of whom is Saint Louis de Montfort, the other is Saint Maximilian Kolbe, and the other is Blessed Chaminade. And they offer for us a way to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through the hands of Our Blessed Lady. And let's talk about that for a moment. Each of those ways does have a prescriptive that we can follow. So consecration to Jesus by way of the true devotion to Jesus through Mary, given to us by St. Louis de Montfort, has a 33-day preparation. Consecration to Jesus through Mary by way of St. Maximilian Kolbe is an 8-day consecration. And I'm not really sure about Father Chaminade's, and I'm not really sure that his formula is prescriptive as the other two. But so we'll just take a look at St. Louis de Montfort. The 33-day preparation is contained for you most generally at the back of his treatise on true devotion to Mary. There is also a pamphlet that you can purchase that will take you through those 33 days outside of true devotion. However, I want to say this to you. For 17 years, I consecrated myself to Jesus through Mary by using the 33-day preparation pamphlet or booklet outside of true devotion. And it's very, very good. The problem was I didn't really understand what that meant. Even though I did this for 17 years annually, I wasn't quite sure of what consecration to Our Blessed Mother or to Jesus through Our Blessed Mother really meant until I began to delve into the treatise on true devotion given to us by St. Louis de Montfort. And then I began to get a fuller understanding, not only of the theology and Mariology that's involved in this beautiful practice, but also in why we consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary, and how it is that our Mother is effective in helping us to live the way of her Son in the day and time in which we are living. So all that being said, I would really encourage you to follow that pattern of consecration to Jesus through Mary by way of St. Louis de Montfort, But doing it in conjunction with True Devotion. And frankly, I think that there are suggested passages that we read from True Devotion based on each of those days. But even to do it within the fuller context of a deep dive into that book. And I want to tell you that that treatise that is in book form is one that you will return to throughout the days of your life. St. John Paul II kept True Devotion on his bedside table, and he read from it every night. It's inexhaustible. And the reason why is because it's presenting the mystery of God's life in us. And so God is inexhaustible, and his ways are inexhaustible. And so the treasures in this book are inexhaustible. And it's like any mystery of faith. We approach it on one level, the level where we are at any given point in time, and also based on the circumstances in our life at a given point in time. But hopefully, we're making progress in the spiritual life. So when we go back to it, we see it differently. We're being taken more deeply into the diamond of God's life in us, and we're seeing the facets from different perspectives. You know, we're drilling down more deeply. And so we're perceiving these truths through a broader vision, a greater vision, a more illuminated vision, a holier vision. And its application to our daily life is becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. We might even say crystal clear. So, you know, I would encourage you to do it that way. So what does it mean to consecrate yourself to Jesus through Mary? Well, of course, I'm telling you, you got to read the treatise to figure all that out. But in short form, it means that we are giving ourselves to our Blessed Lady. We are entrusting our spiritual life to Our Lady. We are entrusting ourselves to her Immaculate Heart. We are entrusting ourselves to her maternal guidance. We are entrusting ourselves to her leading and her guiding. And that's a very safe place to be. Why? Why is it safe to do this? Well, because think about it for a moment. Father God entrusted his only begotten Son to the guidance and leadership and maternal beatitude of our mother. So, you know, golly gee whiz. I mean, if that was God's way for his Son, is not that way good enough for us? Would we argue that? I mean, wouldn't that be the absolute height of arrogance and hubris to say, well, I don't need to go that way? Well, wait a second. This was the way of Jesus in his humanity. In his humanity. Remember, Jesus is hypostatic union, true God and true man, right? In his humanity, just like you needed a mother, he needed a mother. And God made certain that he got the perfect mother, the one who was so perfect that no stain of sin ever held her bound to the evil one for even a nanosecond. She was conceived with, she at the moment of her conception, like, you know, automatically, you know, at that very precise nanosecond of that conception, egg meeting sperm in the womb of St. Anne, she was preserved. She was preserved by the merits of her Son that would come in time, but God, being outside of time, was able to apply them to her at the moment of her conception that she could be perfect. Right? So she's the perfect mother. So she's the perfect one to lead us in our spiritual journey. And you can never go wrong. You can never go wrong in any way. So basically, what does it mean to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary? It means that we give ourselves to our mother to be led along the same path that she led her Son in his humanity. Oh, how beautiful is that? And she will train us up. She will train us up in the way in which we should go. And I can tell you something, that way will always involve the cross, because by way of our baptism, we are guaranteed the cross. But the cross will be sweet, will be sweet. And she will, as Louis de Montfort says, she will strew that path with roses and honey. And she will, in those moments of the great cross that comes your way, she will give you insight. She will give you consolation. She will incorporate you into her own relationship with her spouse, the Holy Spirit, who will bring you the solace that you need. That's what she does. Who would not want that? I can't imagine who would not want that. So basically, in its essence, that's what it means to consecrate ourselves to Jesus through Mary. But to in some way enter into the mystery more deeply, pray the treatise on true devotion given to us by St. Louis de Montfort. That is my preferred methodology. Although I will say that I have consecrated myself to Jesus through Mary using St. Maximilian Kolbe's consecration. And it's lovely because every once in a while you'll say, oh, I'd like to do this like for the next 8 days, you know, and that's a beautiful thing to do. So all of that being said, I hope that certainly helps you as you continue to make your way on this journey of life. Don't walk it alone. Walk it with our Blessed Mother, who will help you walk it with her Son, just as she walked her road with him. But she trained him up in the way in which he should go. I just love it. Oh, my goodness. It's been so much fun being with you. We're going to get to these other listener comment calls on another day. We're going to take your questions that you send in to us via womenofgrace@ewtn.com. Remember, that listener comment line is country code 1-205-795-5773. Available to you 24/7. It's always wonderful to share this time with you. Let's promise to pray for each other, okay? Let's do that. God bless you now. Bye-bye. Bye.